Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 22nd day of August, Anno Domini 2020, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Don't get the blues. Kick off your shoes. Here comes the news. And we have several people already on the line. Please be patient. We will be with you as soon as we're done with the news. But before the news, I do want to thank Dennis, who kindly agreed to sit in for Steve, who's one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest.
Yes, keen-eared viewers, keen-eared listeners will know that I am not Steve Ray.
Yes, yes.
And with that, we will not see the liveness.
Right, and because of that, we do not have right. YouTube.
It's in my contract. I don't get to show my face.
We would have to pay you extra if we.
That's right.
If you did
my
YouTube.
Bald spot doesn't have to be a.
That's right.
You'd have to quadruple the budget.
Right. All right. Here's the news. Apple is yet again making changes to the window of time customers have to buy its AppleCare Plus extended warranty for the iPhone, iPad, Mac, and other products. Apple has stretched the eligibility of AppleCare to an entire year after the purchase of whatever device you're covering. Mac buyers used to have a year-long window to make a decision about buying Apple's extended warranty, but when the company added accidental damage coverage to the plans, the time frame tightened to 60 days. Apple has gone back and forth on how long iPhone customers have, alternating between a year and the current 60 days more than once. So if you didn't get the extended warranty with your iPhone 11 last September, you've now got a fresh opportunity to lengthen coverage, and repairs are much cheaper when you've got AppleCare Plus. When purchased up front, AppleCare Plus provides one additional year of warranty coverage for iPhones and iPads and two added years for Macs, plus covers additional accidental damage. There's also a deductible for physical damage regardless of the product. AppleCare Plus is also available for Apple Watch, AirPods, and Beats headphones, HomePod, the Pro Display XDR, and iPod Touch. Apple has said that the COVID-19 pandemic has negatively affected AppleCare Plus demand as customers rethink their spending during an economic downturn. Giving them more time could help further boost the company's service business. If you're purchasing AppleCare Plus for a device you already own, you'll need to get it screened either at an Apple store or through a diagnostic test if you order it over the phone. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Apple gives you a year to get an extended warranty. And your choices are, I'll jump right on that. That's nice. Extended warranty? Don't they have faith in their products? Heh, Apple. And, of course, other. So far, we've got 26 votes, and Apple is way ahead. And once you've voted in the poll, particularly if you selected other, you can head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the left under Fascinating Stuff are the forums. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 22 August 20. Apple gives you a year to get extended warranty. And, of course, you can join us, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Or text us on our brand new text line, 585-209-8887. So do you think people should get extended warranties?
I think if you are the kind of person, and these people know who they are, the kind of person who accidentally drops things, the kind of person who has butterfingers, then this makes a lot of sense. I think in terms of does Apple's equipment generally work over the lifespan that it's intended to, I'd say yes.
Yeah,
I think so.
Anything can have an infant mortality.
Sure.
Right? Anything can be dead out of the box or die quickly. So in that case, it doesn't matter what the brand is. I don't care who your manufacturer is that can happen. But in general, my feeling is if it's a portable device, get the extended warranty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Particularly if it
somebody's
includes accidental
gonna drop
damage
at some point in time.
Right. Right. If it was a desktop computer, I would say, I'd have to think a little harder. If it's a laptop, I'd say for sure. If it's a student going back to school, I would say yes.
It's a must.
I would say yes. If it's a younger child with a phone, I would say it doesn't hurt. Those things can become airborne. They can become swimmers pretty fast. So a little bit of buffer helps.
Yeah, because out of their mouths usually, what's an accident?
Right. Yeah, right. I didn't do it.
I don't know how it got that way. Drip, drip, drip.
Yeah, right. and because it covers accidental damage, that's right. the big one, particularly with kids.
They've added that somewhat recently.
Yeah.
The other thing that you get with AppleCare, and not to jump on my soapbox for a minute, the other thing you get with AppleCare is the ability to call Apple and get remote support and technical support over the phone no matter where you are. And it covers you worldwide as well. It's not just U.S. while you're in the U.S. You can buy it and use it anywhere. So nice. It's very helpful.
Okay, excellent. And of course, for those of you who don't have AppleCare Plus and are not, in fact, calling Apple right at this moment, you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or text us on our new text line at 585-205-8887. And you can do that while we talk to Robin from Rochester, New York. Hi, Robin. What's up?
Hi. I'm calling for my husband. And
we don't have him.
I'm sorry?
We don't have him.
Nope. He's not here.
No, I know.
Okay.
He's here.
Okay.
He uses Thunderbird, and he cannot receive or send email. He gets a really weird message.
Okay, how weird?
I knew I should have. Where's the papers?
Are you on Frontier?
Yes.
That's why.
Yep.
Frontier has, okay.
Yeah, be polite.
It says an error occurred while sending mail.
Mm-hmm.
The mail server sent an incorrect greeting, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's not your fault. That's Frontier's fault.
Right, and every time I can't tell you how many names I've written down here from when we've called Frontier.
Yeah, so what you can do is change your email server in Thunderbird from frontiernet.net or frontier.net to yahoo.com.
Change the server to what?
Yahoo.com.
Yahoo.com. All right. And I'm going to ask you, how do you do that?
Right.
You're going to go into the settings and into networking, and it's going to ask you in there to put in, what is it? It's been so long since I've done it.
Yeah.
You got to put in the...
probably the IMAP server or the POP server.
The SMTP and the...
Right.
SMTP.
Yeah, in there,
okay,
you're going to
see... Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put up
a post
on the Soundbites website that will lead you through how to do this, because talking about it on the phone takes a while.
Yeah, especially when I'm writing as you speak.
Right. But you need your. I'll just give you this little bit of hint. Your email address is your full email address, which is your name at whatever the name is at the domain frontiernet.net, say, and then the server is listed here, the port is listed here, all the information you need is listed on this thing.
Okay, now what is the, I know you've said it several times, what is the website again? It's soundbites.org,
soundbites.org.
Okay.
And it'll take me a few minutes to put it up there, but it'll be up there shortly.
Before the end of the show, we'll have it up there.
Yep.
Okay. Now, one of the people that we talked to at Frontier said that we needed to change a password.
That may be true.
That may be true, but it isn't essential for this.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with changing it from Frontier to Yahoo.
See, here's the secret. Frontier doesn't do their own mail anymore. They let Yahoo do it. But the way your system is set up now, it goes from your machine to Frontier, from Frontier to Yahoo, from Yahoo to Frontier, and from Frontier to you. Well, Frontier's a problem, so let's just cut them out of the middle.
We don't need to change the password.
Well, you may. And Frontier can help probably with the changing of the password.
They didn't know how to do that either.
Right. But let's take one thing at a time. The thing is, you need to change your server settings, and I'm going to put up a link to do that.
Okay.
And then if you do need to change the password, it should lead you through that. If it does not, then you can call Frontier, and they are certainly capable of telling you how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you, when we spoke to Andre on the 15th, he had no idea what we were talking about.
Well,
Nick was saying, though, once you change it, it should prompt you to change the password. Now, sometimes...
If it needs it.
Now, if it does and you can't remember the password... Quite often, there's a field that says, I forgot my password. And what you can do is then click on that, and it'll walk you through resetting the password.
Right, and that's only if this getting rid of Frontier.net doesn't work. So it'll be my husband's sign-on, and instead of it saying... .frontier.net, it'll say yahoo.com.
Yes.
Yep. And like okay. I said, Nick was saying, though, it should still work because technically, even though you were going through Frontier, you were really going through Yahoo. So that's where the password is actually when it went from your machine over to Frontier and from Frontier up to Yahoo. Yahoo was the one that was keeping the password. It was Frontier was just like a middleman.
Okay, so
Going from your computer right to Yahoo.
Okay, and
you're eliminating the middleman.
Okay,
and then we should be able to get and receive and send email.
Yep.
Okay, I'll wait for you to load up on the website.
Yeah, like I say, give us by the end of the show. Right now, you know, we're kind of running around doing everything, answering other calls and all that. But Nick,
gotcha.
We'll have it up before the end of the show, okay?
Okay, and it'll tell me where I'm supposed to go to change the server.
That's right.
Yep, he'll give you all the directions.
Okay, great. Thank you both so very, very much.
You're welcome. You. Have a great day.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
That was great.
That was great. We'll be able to help her at some point. I should probably make that a whole page that I actually set up because so many people are calling about that. Oh, Lordy, I hate this whole new thing. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
All the things that are new or just one particular thing?
Just this one particular thing. Convert it to a link. Just do it. That's all I want you to do is actually do it. Convert it to a link.
Inside Nick's brain as he posts a link.
Having problems.
Back to the phones. Our next caller is our friend Carl from Pottstown, PA. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
I have a question about using sticky notes.
We're for it.
Yeah, use them.
Yes, I've been using them for a while and have a lot of sticky notes stored. And I realized that I'm going to get a new computer eventually, maybe pretty soon, and I don't know how to transfer the sticky notes to the new machine. Now, I do have Carbonite backup, but I never check to see if they back up sticky notes. They might not. The other thing I found out is that as soon as I go to Outlook.com and sign in and I click on Notes, those sticky notes are all on Outlook.com, like automatically. I never even had to upload them. It just happened by itself. That's how they have the system set up. So I know I won't lose them because they're always on Outlook.com. But is there a way to get them onto the new computer's hard drive if I buy a new computer?
I have great news for you. When you get your new computer, one of the things that will happen is Microsoft will ask you to sign in with your Microsoft ID. And when you do that, you will connect to your email program, and all of your email will show up. And when you click on the stickies there, without having to transfer anything manually, your stickies will appear there as well.
Okay, that's great.
Sort of like Google.
Yep, because they're all stored on the server, they don't live... Well, a copy of them lives on your local computer, but anytime you set up a new computer, it will go and fetch those from the server.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very convenient.
Yeah, it is, and I really like them, too, because it has a little search function in sticky notes, so as long as I put a keyword on every sticky note, I could always type that keyword in, and it'll bring up the sticky notes, so I could easily find them. So it's really good, because I used to have little pieces of paper all over the place.
Right.
Now I don't have that anymore.
Yes. No, the online sticky notes on the computer are great. They're a great way to just remember little pieces of information that might otherwise slip your mind or help jog your memory. I highly recommend them. They make life a lot easier.
Well, that's why I like using Keep Notes.
Okay.
Keep Notes is the same type of thing. It's a online service. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a free app. You can download it and you can type in notes, and if, you know, something crashes or, you know, you got to get in or you lose your phone or anything else, all you do is read down the app,
yeah,
put in your name and password, and there it is.
Cool.
All your notes, you can put in, you know, a lot of stuff because it is encrypted.
Good to know.
Okay, thanks for the help.
Yep. Thanks.
Anytime, Carl.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, and for Robin, I do have... on the website, the post is up, changing your Frontier email settings.
What took you so long?
It's very slow these days.
Real-time follow-up here.
Exactly. So you'll find two things on that post. You'll find a link to how to change the email, what to change the email settings to, and underneath that, how to change the settings in Thunderbird.
Perfect.
So you'll get the information you need to make the change. And then underneath that is how to make the change.
I think that's what she was looking for.
And I think that's what she was looking for.
All right. We got a question.
This somebody, just in.
Yep. Somebody actually texted us at our new text line, 585-205-8887. And it's Mark from Greece. Is something going on with the poll? I went to vote and it wouldn't let me. It was if I had already voted and I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Today is the no mark day.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew that. We have a day where we don't let you vote.
Yeah. Sorry. Come back next week. It'll be great.
Come back next week.
Next week is no Carl Day. So no, Carl's great. We love Carl.
We love Carl. I don't know, Mark. I don't know.
Good question.
I will check that.
We'll figure that out. We'll take a look during the break.
When I get home, the problem with my doing that is I've already voted. So.
Okay. I haven't voted yet. We could check for me.
You can check, but not from here.
Don't. All right,
so
I'll think of something.
We'll see what happens. I'll see what I can do when I get home.
Other listeners, call us in, text us, let us know. Can you vote?
Yeah, let
Clearly
us know if
some
you can
have.
Vote. And if you didn't vote, why not? All right. Our next caller is Steve from Ithaca, New York. Hiya, Steve. What's up?
Beautiful town.
Wow, that was pretty speedy. Let me take this off speaker.
Yes, please.
Thank you for that.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for doing this great program. I love you guys.
Thank you.
And I'm a member, too.
That's what we like to hear. We love you, too, Steve.
Then we'll give you the right answers.
In my quest to make sure I have all 64-bit programs, you know, running mm-hmm. in my Win10,
yeah.
I use the RoboForm password manager.
Okay.
And when you open up Task Manager, it says 32-bit. So I sent him a question. And first, I printed out. First, I got a reply from Justin who says, RoboForm is a 64-bit application. I wrote back saying that was pretty curt, you know, and not too specific. And then they wrote back and said, and this is why I'm calling you, because I don't understand this. Hello, currently the application is a 64-bit helper, but the process is only 32-bit. this can seem confusing. We can run in 64-bit if called for by the OS or another application which allows us to attach. Translation, please.
Yeah, what they're telling you is that they really are still a, they're still a lazy 32-bit application. Yeah. And what they've done is they've put a wrapper around it, kind of like a burrito.
A Band-Aid
that lets it pretend to be 64-bit.
It's sort of like Windows, you know, back in the day when you could put go into Windows, you could have an application on there, and it wouldn't say run on Windows 7. You could go in compatibility mode and tell it you're running Windows 98, and Windows would lie to the program saying, yeah, it's 98. So that's what they're doing here. They're lying to the request saying that, you know, it's really this, you know, 64-bit. I'm not really 32, I'm 64, even though it is 32-bit.
Right.
So that makes sense. I know about compatibility mode from other things that you've spoken about, and I'm not a novice on this stuff either, but so do I take their word for it and it's good to go? That's one thing I can cross off my don't worry about it list.
Well, no, when it runs, it is running as a 32-bit program.
Will that be a problem in the future with the, you know, when Windows is 64-bit only, if they don't change some more?
I guess we'll find out. I mean, they should know whether or not their program will run as a pure 64-bit program.
Yeah.
And that would be a good question for them as well. If Windows goes 64-bit only, should I expect this program to
also
work?
If you want to look at another great program that Nick and I have been talking about, is NPass. NPass is fantastic.
I actually gave NPass a try, and no criticism. I'm just
No, it's okay.
So much stuff in my... in my robo form, and it's so seamless for me that I'm...
Well, then, hey, you stick with what you want. We just try to recommend stuff,
right?
And not everything is going to be for everybody.
Right. No, robo form is a good program, and we don't have anything against it, except that it is 32-bit. But I guess as time goes on, we'll see if, you know, the reality is that if suddenly a couple of 100 million people can't run robo form anymore, they'll fix it.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, my talking to their tech support is kind of fruitless. I'm going to get this same kind of answer.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
they're not going to tell me that they're working hard on their 64.
Yeah,
I don't believe.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's it. I wanted to hear it from the guys that know, and you're doing a great job. And I'll get out of the way here and let you talk to some. I appreciate how kind you gentlemen are to everyone, no matter who you're talking to.
Well, thank you.
We
try to be
that.
Polite to your face.
Were you guys, any of you Car Talk fans from the past?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's back in our day when we first started out.
Well, ditto here. And I was always impressed by how kind Tom and Ray, Tom rest in peace, were to everybody, no matter, like you say, Dick, no matter, you know, there's no such thing as a stupid question. I mean, there were people they could have raked over the coals. And, and the less informed the caller was, the kinder they were.
Yeah,
and
they are.
I have said it for decades. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. But that doesn't mean when you call in for a question, especially the folks that sit there and say, I'm calling in for so-and-so. Yeah, right. We're going to have fun with that.
Yeah.
We won't abuse you, but we're going to have fun with it, and we're honest with you.
But I will say that Tom and Ray were our role models.
Oh, they were great.
Yeah.
Well, you're carrying the torch.
Thank you so much. We love to hear that. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Yep.
What a nice guy.
This is probably the time to take a quick break, as it's 29 after the hour.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to start the music.
Great, well, great minds think alike here. That's good.
All right, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running and clearly the kindest computer talk show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you because you're the reason we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a couple of minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Venright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We have a couple of new text messages have come in. One person said that they are on a VPN. Their IP is in England, and they are unable to vote in the poll. So maybe that's Mark's problem if he's on a VPN that's out of the country. I don't remember setting it up to block people out of the country, but I'll have to check that as well.
We're usually a lot more welcoming than that.
We usually are.
We're so kind and nice.
I'm a little surprised about that, but I'll have to...
If we did that, it was certainly unintentional.
Yeah, I will...
We'll investigate.
I will mark that as something I should look for.
In all your free time.
In all my free time. and we had another text message about a person who's got Xfinity with 300 down. In the basement, they have very low Wi-Fi. They have a power line extender, but still can't get much above 50 megabits per second instead of the 300 megabits.
Yeah, power line is handy, but I've never seen it perform especially well.
The only way you're really going to get a decent download speed down there is to run an actual Ethernet cable down there.
Yep.
And put an extender.
Sure.
An extender down there.
Or just run it down, like you say. If you're going to run it from upstairs, if you got your router upstairs, I had to do the reverse because I wanted to get regular hardwired up into this one bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way, because the house is built in 1928, mm-hmm. I went outside and I got Cat 6 outdoor cabling.
Yeah, with UV shielding.
Yep. Yeah. And I wound up going out the wall and straight up and then back in. He can do probably the same thing, or maybe he's lucky enough. He can fish it through the wall on down.
Right.
And just do a hardwire. Just hardwire. Cable, Cat 5 cable is so cheap.
It's like a nickel a foot. It's
yeah,
not
I mean,
very
you
much.
Can get it so cheap and just run it down there and then splice the ends on. It's easy.
Yeah, it's very easy. And if you absolutely can't come up with any other way, look into maybe the cold air return if you've got forced air.
Right.
Maybe there's a pathway that way. I don't know.
I
don't know what the rules are about that, so double check that,
too.
Yeah,
the other thing is what power line system did you buy?
True.
If you bought a... See, this is where there's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yeah,
right?
The power line has been around for a while, and it's gotten better over the years, but it's never been 100%.
Right. A 200 megabit per second power line actually tops out at about 90 megabits per second.
Right.
So if he's got a 200 megabit power line and he's getting 50, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
If you replace that with a 500 megabit kit, you top out at 200 megabits. And so he might get 150, 170, three times what he's getting now, essentially.
Right. Right.
But
Cat 5 or Cat 5e or Cat 6 is cheap.
Power line is never going to be as fast as a real Ethernet cable. A Wi-Fi in any basement is a problem because of all the duct work
and everything electrical else lines and everything else.
Steel
and
beams.
Signals going down don't radiate as well as they do going up because they're using the earth ground.
Right.
And things reflect up. They don't go down too well.
Right. Mm. So if you can afford it, replacing your power line, your 200 megabit power line kit with a 500 megabit kit, would help, but you're never going to achieve the full 300 megabit per second through power line or, in fact, anything.
Oh, he said
in a basement.
He just texts back 1,000. It's 1,000.
There is no 1,000 megabit per second power line, is there?
Gigabits per second power line?
I don't think so.
If there is, that's news to me. It could be.
Well, they do it. They do have. Oh, yeah, they do have gigabit power line.
They do. Oh.
Now, yes, they have two gigabit power lines in point of fact. But that also depends on how old your house wiring is and everything else. There's a lot of noise in house wiring.
Yeah. Electrical AC wiring.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And older your house
shielded.
Is.
It's susceptible for all kinds of
But
EM.
The other thing, though, is you've got TVs.
Microwaves.
And all your microwaves. All that stuff is not wall shield.
I mean, air conditioners.
I found out with one of the TVs that I had bought.
Yeah.
I could be upstairs and working on one of my ham radios.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned the TV on downstairs.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
Yes, we've seen that.
And Sandy will sit there and say, is the TV on down there? Shoot. Yeah, if I go on 60 megahertz, it kicks the TV on. So, yeah, the signals and all that could be really.
My father-in-law built himself a weather station.
Okay. You're using air quotes. You have to tell people that.
Yeah, there's a Wi-Fi weather station. And every time he turned it on, the garage door would go up and down.
Nice.
And up and down.
Yeah, so there could be a lot of interference that, you know, is interfering with that.
There was a local college, and I won't name which one, that I heard this story from another administrator, that it was either the construction crew or the campus safety group. Every time they would key their walkie-talkies, the touch panel screens had a capacitive touch power button on them in this computer lab, and every time they'd walk by down the hallway and key their mic, it would turn off the monitors and all the in the lab, and they had the hardest time trying to figure out why it happened, because it happened completely independently of something.
That's a tough one.
So happy to learn once they did. It took months for them to figure this out.
Yeah, I bet. But at any rate, in general, power lines depend on a number of things. First, which kit you have, and if you got a gigabit kit, you should be getting decent speed, but it also depends an awful lot on how noisy your power lines
are. And where it is relative to...
You know, if you shut off everything else in your house, you might get a better signal.
Yeah.
But honestly, particularly if you have any older devices... How your neighbors are doing, where you live, how well insulated your house is against the electrical net itself.
Right.
I mean, there's just a billion things.
And don't be afraid to just grab 200 feet of cable and put ends on both ends and just run it down both sets of stairs down to the basement
just to see how it works,
if you can get any better.
Right. Sorry, but that's pretty much where that lives. All right, back to the phones.
Hard to beat copper.
Exactly right. Our friend Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick, back to the 64-bit impending Windows conversion here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what possessed me, but I decided to be proactive, and I always get bit when I do this.
Well, that's a mistake.
I know. You'd think I would have learned by now.
It keeps us busy, though.
Something like that. I decided to upgrade my Firefox to 64-bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it went seamlessly, installed itself. I was able to get out to Google and some other sites. Seemed to work okay. And then I went to ESL.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the account number and the password, and then I get this screen goes to kind of a light gray. There's a header at the top. It isn't like a screen of death or anything. The header's at the top where it's trying to go to, and it just sits there.
Hmm.
It is possible that you still have a 32-bit version of Flash on your system, and number of banks, and I'm not an ESL customer, but I know a number of banks have a flash thing.
Flash requirement.
That happens, like an ad that happens before you go into the website itself. A number of them are doing that. The first thing to do is try it with Chrome, which has its own built-in flash.
It works.
So the problem is that 32-bit flash that Firefox is connecting to. So you can remove Flash from your system and replace it with a 64-bit version of Flash, or figure out some sort of other replacement for Flash. But the reality is that it doesn't sound like the problem is actually Firefox. It's the Flash add-in that's causing the issue.
All righty. Because the other night I tried... I've been waiting to see if it would go away, thinking maybe it was something that, you know, would correct itself, but it hasn't. And then I tried to pay my RG&E bill yesterday.
Right.
And you click on my account, and nothing happens. Get out, go to Chrome, go in perfectly, and it works fine.
Right. And that's clearly due to the fact that Chrome is fully 64-bit, and Firefox is still part 32-bit pieces that just aren't adequately integrated.
All right, so I need to go find a 64-bit version of Flash.
Well, what they need to do is stop using Flash.
Yeah, isn't Flash supposed to be dead by the end of the year?
They keep it's essentially a zombie.
Yeah,
they
keep
bringing it back to life.
Yeah,
just like the sixth season of Walking Dead. Really, kill it now.
Yep.
Ugh.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Andy.
What? So if I can I replace Flash with something else, and the site will recognize it or not?
I would use Chrome for that one website in the short term.
Okay.
If that'll let you in.
Okay. Well, at least I'm going to try and go back to 32-bit Firefox because that was my problem is everybody. I'm looking all over the web and there's all kinds of things tried to do this and back it off and it won't back off.
Right.
Well, yes. And Adobe keeps saying, we're not doing this anymore. We're done. At the end of 2020, they're officially for real done. No kidding this time. No backsies.
Okay, so what has to happen?
ESL is going to have to rebuild. ESL will have to rebuild their website.
Not ask for Flash.
Okay. Correct.
So it is a problem at ESL and all these other sites where they just haven't taken the Flash thing out of it yet.
Yeah. Right, and they should replace it with HTML5 Canvas or, whatever. But the point is, if it's something that they wrote, they need to fix it. If it's coming from an ad network, which some of them do, then it's up to the ad network to fix it. But there's nothing you can do at your end except to use Chrome instead of Firefox.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, no, but that's a lot less complicated than I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
So that's fine. I'll take less complicated.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
See, now you've got your whole afternoon to yourself. You can do whatever you want.
There you go. We got to get to the next call. Thanks, Andy.
That'll never happen. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Andy.
Yeah, it's the reality is that we're in another one of those transition periods.
But in IT? What?
What? In IT?
And sometimes
there's just nothing you can do.
Right.
Sometimes the problem is at the other end, and you can do a workaround, as Andy can do. He can just end around Firefox by using Chrome.
That's right.
But he can't fix the problem himself because it's not his problem.
Okay, we got a couple other texts in. We got Mark from Greece. He says he's not using a VPN.
Okay. And still having trouble voting.
And then another person was saying his house was built in 2004.
Glad to hear it.
That's
okay. You know what? All of that is great, but the reality is that...
It doesn't mean where the stuff is running. All right, another text and question. My Moto G7...
Well, wait a minute. Let's solve these two first. Let's solve these two first.
Which one do you want to do first?
I'm going to take Mark's question about not being able to vote in the poll.
Okay.
Okay, so you cannot vote. You do not. Did he say he doesn't use a VPN or he's...
He doesn't use a VPN.
Okay. The thing is that the poll works with one IP address. It does it by IP address. So any IP address you vote from is now... dead for the week.
Yeah.
Right?
So that you don't ballot stuff.
So you ballot, right. So it is possible that someone else, either someone else in your home voted in the poll, or someone voted with that IP address, and then overnight your internet service provider changed the IP addresses.
Possible.
I've seen that happen. And therefore, there it is. But you might be able to test that by voting from your phone, using not your Wi-Fi, but your cellular network.
Data.
And if you can vote there, then it's obvious the problem, isn't one of ours. And in fact, the fact is that since you, said you couldn't vote the first time, we've had about 50 more people vote.
Yep.
So it's pretty clear that it's not the software on our end. Now, as for, the house being built in 2004, that's great. The rest of it still counts.
Yep.
It depends on who did your wiring, how well they did your wiring,
where the duct
well, in terms of the power line, it depends all on the electrical system, how noisy it is. And a lot of that depends on what other products you've got in. So if you've got a TV from 5 years ago plugged in, that may be a lot noisier than a TV you buy today.
Right.
The same thing with an older refrigerator, particularly an older microwave, that sort of thing. There's about a million appliances in your house, any one of them could be causing that problem. And as Dennis said, the way you test to see if there's some additional problem is run a line downstairs and just plug it in directly and see if that works. But, and I realize that's hard, and I realize that's the reason you're using power line. But you have to understand that power line technology is dependent on an extreme number of external forces. And there are places where it works great, and there are places where it really doesn't work at all. And
most of the places fall in between.
Most places fall in between. You know, the fact that you've got 30...
That doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't really surprise me.
But what I can say is if your house was built in 2004, chances are good you probably have like cable TV lines running to the bedrooms. And I'm betting there's a pathway that goes down to your basement, wherever your cable TV feed is or wherever that comes into the house, that you could latch onto or borrow and run cable through that same pathway.
Right.
So it's not impossible. And this is not a terribly expensive endeavor if you needed to call a professional to come and do this. It's low voltage stuff. It's not going – you don't have to take the power down to the house in order to have them do this. It's the type of thing –
if you're running an Ethernet cable, it's literally just a wire run.
Right. It's not terribly difficult. And I think you'd notice a gigantic improvement if you run that cable and then put a Wi-Fi repeater or other access point
extender,
down in the basement.
Yeah.
I think that you're going to be the happiest for the fewest number of dollars and least amount of effort if you do that.
I completely agree. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions for you. I'll start with the one that I like the most. I just got a Windows 32-bit machine.
Okay.
Sorry.
And I'm trying to use a... can do this, Steve. A switch.
Okay.
So I can use the same monitor, keyboard, and mouse on both machines.
Got it.
The monitor on my, call it one, it's the original 64-bit, has a DVI output.
Okay.
The one on the replacement, computer two, an AVG. I bought a converter from, it would be a male.
VGA to DVI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then plugged everything. It doesn't work. I get no monitor. Now, the computer itself, the new one, does work. Luckily, Alt F4 shuts things down because I can't see. I then just ran straight into the new computer. I ran the monitor, my
right.
mouse, and keyboard.
And they work fine.
And I still can't see.
Oh!
Still can't see. Someone, I read someplace that there's a powered converter that I might need.
So hold on a second. You ran the DVI converter directly from that machine to the monitor, and you still can't see anything. Is it the kind that requires power?
So, no, you're a little bit misunderstood. I wired my keyboard directly to the machine.
Okay.
My monitor directly to the machine. My mouse directly to the machine. I'm not going through the switch at all. I just went
right.
Okay, and it still fails.
And it still failed.
But to get from your 32-bit machine to the monitor, you still needed that VGA to DVI converter, right?
That is correct.
Right. And so that's the thing that's not working.
Okay.
Possibly.
I just got it. Is it powered? Somebody mentioned something about a powered converter.
Well, yes. They make powered and unpowered converters. Unpowered converters don't work really well.
Okay.
Powered converters do. Now, if you have a power plug on yours, you just need to get the right kind of adapter for it. If you don't have a power plug on it, then I'm afraid you're going to have to get one that does have a power on it. Or replace the card in the 32-bit machine with a card that does DVI.
Yeah, they're cheap enough.
They're cheaper than the DVI converters.
Does the monitor have more than one connection for putting information into the monitor?
No, the keyboard does. The keyboard has...
We don't care about that. So at this point, your best bet would be to buy a cheap DVI video card for the 32-bit machine and just plug it in and connect to that.
Okay.
You may need a connector set as well, DVI, to your new KVM switch. But
those are cheap, too.
Those are cheap, too.
Right.
The idea being that rather than screw around with those converters, which are problematic at best. I had one for a while that I used at RIT, and geez and crackers, I eventually took a hammer to it, and it was the most satisfying day of my life. So I would suggest directly buying a video card and the necessary cabling and be done.
Okay, so, but the, it's still a DV, so I need a switch that is DVI instead of AVG.
In other words, you mean VGA?
VGA.
Yeah.
So the switch is a VGA switch, which is why I needed the converter.
Okay. No, hold on. So your 64-bit machine is also VGA?
No. The 64-bit machine is, come on.
DVI.
Hey, thank you.
Yep. All the new stuff's DVI. His switch is VGA. He's got an older switch connected to an older computer.
Okay, mm-hmm. but the switch that you bought for that converts that it works AVG. It works DVI to DVI. Correct?
No. Basically, I'm so used to the VGA connections that when I bought the converter, everything was VGA. It's only when I tried to put the monitor into the switch, I say, well, this won't fit. This won't go because I've got the DVI.
All the adapters that I've worked with have gone the other direction. They've been DVI to VGA. I'm not sure I've seen a lot of ones that go in the opposite direction and work correctly. I mean, you can physically connect them. They'll plug together, but I'm not sure I've seen the signals
that they'll work right.
That's
yeah.
what I'm trying to do, basically.
Yeah, and I think that could be a potential issue.
All right, but let me get this straight. What output is on the 64-bit machine?
Right now it's a DVI.
Okay, so you are going DVI to DVI with the 64-bit machine?
Correct.
And that works?
Yes.
And it works through the switch?
No, because it does not work with the switch.
Well, then the switch is the problem.
Yeah, I think the switch is just too old for what you're trying to do, or it's yeah. trying to move information in a way that the other equipment is not expecting.
Can't handle it.
Right. Right. So if you can't get anything through the switch, the KVM switch, then the switch is the problem.
Then go get a different video card for the 32-bit system, like you said.
He's still only got one input in his TV, in his monitor.
Right.
So he still needs some sort of...
But I went direct. I completely eliminated the switch when I tried to plug into the new machine, the 32-bit machine. I went...
Yeah, let's solve one problem at a time. If you go from the 64-bit machine to the monitor, that works.
Correct.
Okay. If you go from the 64-bit machine to the KVM to the monitor, that does not work.
Correct.
The problem is the KVM switch.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do to the 32-bit machine, if the KVM switch is the problem, it's not going to work there either.
I understand what you're saying, but I removed the switch from the equation completely by going directly into the 32-bit machine. I plugged the monitor, the keyboard, and the mouse directly into the 32-bit machine. Had to go through the converter, of course.
Right.
But I was not going through the switch.
Right.
And I think it's still a problem. Case, I think the converter was the issue.
Right. But I think you've got two problems. I think your DVI, your KVM switch is a problem because it's not working even with DVI to DVI. And your converter is not working because it's not working with VGA to DVI. So you've got two separate issues, and you're going to need to solve them both.
Yeah.
In terms of the KVM switch, and I would suggest solving them in this order. See if you can get a KVM switch that has both DVI and VGA in and DVI out.
Okay.
And if that's powered, you win all the way around.
Okay. Won't be cheap.
Yeah.
It won't be cheap, but nothing you do at this point is going to be cheap.
Yeah. All right, I can try. I can look for that, see if I can find that.
Yeah, that's probably your best bet at this point.
I know you're going to have to break for commercial.
Yeah, we are.
I do have a question if I...
We got to go.
We got to go. Hang on. Stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, Meenit, Francesco, and you. It's 1 minute after the hour. We're Soundbites, members of Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm still Dennis Worster.
Still?
Yeah.
Well, we tried to change him during the break.
I know.
Did we?
And we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites. It's 7 minutes after the hour on Jazz 90.1. We still have, for no real good reason, Steve from Greece, New York on the line. Hiya, Steve. What's your second question?
Okay, it's a sheets question. I had an Excel spreadsheet I was keeping in Dropbox. And found that when I would come back, I would enter some data, come back later, and it reloaded the wrong page without the data I just put in. So I took the Excel spreadsheet, uploaded it to Sheets.
Okay.
Right.
And the data columns are updating absolutely fine. I have no problem with that. But my graph, so I'm graphing one line of data.
Mm-hmm.
On the y-axis, and the x-axis is the date.
Okay. Right.
But I cannot get the y-axis values to be numbers that I want. In other words, I imported the sheet with graduations at 200.
Okay.
And what I get is a date when I bring it up, and I cannot change it into... the graduations, you know, like 200, right. 600. I can't make that change.
So instead of numerical values, it's converted those to a date? Do I have that right?
Yes, but it's not it's a weird number.
Can't you go into Sheets and format that particular column?
I've tried that, believe me.
From dates to numbers, or normally you
or
could put
currency
it...
currency or something else, yeah.
But it doesn't give me that option. It doesn't give me the option to go to... I have the dates, things that comes up with dates, fine, in that column. I can change the format of the date, I can change the date to text, but I can't change it to... a number, and I mean, I can work with it, but it's certainly not.
I know it's in there.
Yeah, because I've done it.
You do right click and then it's cell format.
Yeah, because I just did a sheet and I wound up putting in the date in one column, and then I was putting in numbers in another column, and then.
Now, is your date column the first column in your spreadsheet?
Second column. The first column is the day of the week.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
okay.
That could be your problem. You need to go in. If you just did an automatic chart, and I honestly don't know what happens when you translate
a chart
from
thing?
When you translate a chart from Excel into Sheets. When you do an automatic chart, it takes that first column. So you have to go into the settings and tell it the second column.
And the settings would be located up in...
I think you right-click on the chart itself, or you right-click on the Y-axis. I don't have a chart in front of me.
Right.
I've been frantically looking through my stuff to find one, and I just don't have a chart.
I have chart area, chart style, chart axis, and title, series, legends...
Chart axes.
Axes, yep.
And then you should be able to set which column and what the format of that column is.
Do the vertical axes. And so I would go under series.
Probably. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
Series is where you'll pick the range of cells that represent what you're trying to graph.
Yep. And then...
Yeah, so you should be able in the y-axis if you double click the chart itself, you'll see a bunch of stuff on the right. You can click customize series,
yeah,
and apply it to which axis and make your changes and like that. But we kind of can't do that over the phone.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
I appreciate all your time. You guys are the best.
Thanks. Have fun.
Calling. Yep. Bye bye.
All right. We had some text messages.
People love those text messages.
People are loving those text messages at 585-205-8887. But, of course, they can also give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. First text message was from Will in Hampton, Virginia, taking advantage of those free text minutes.
Why not?
His question was about APIs. Are they there for a server-side app? An API is an application programming interface, and they're a convenient way for a programmer at the server end to open up their data or their program to be used by you in your own programs. But the APIs, whether or not an API is available depends on whether or not the person who programmed the server-side app actually created an API interface.
Right.
Many don't because it's proprietary data. But there are places that you can get APIs for all kinds of things, including OpenAPI, I want to say .org. How close was I? I think
drum
not
roll.
Close at all.
Where's the timpani?
OpenAPI. And we'll just go there. No.
Not so much.
OpenAPIs with an S. There's your. They're my boys. As they say in Coriolanus, they're my boys was our error. OpenAPIs.org shows you lots and lots of places that have free APIs or free, but you got to sign up.
Yep.
Or for pay. But they all depend specifically on whether or not the programmer of that application opened up an API interface. And if they didn't, there's nothing you can do to get their data. Okay, our next question was Moto G7 plays spontaneously, changes ring to vibrate, turns off Wi-Fi on its own. My suggestion is to dip it in a vat of holy water and leave it there for about a year.
Yeah, that does not sound fun.
That's possessed. I think they might want to take that back to their service provider and have them check it out because it could be maybe perhaps an update that went awry.
Right. That's
and
exactly
they might
right.
have to reset it or something else, but I wouldn't know where to, I've heard.
I don't think it's anything. If it's so many different problems that would have so many different interfaces, it's got to be something wrong with the phone itself.
Yeah.
And in fact, because the Moto G7 only came out last year, it might even be still under warranty. I would take it back to them immediately.
Have them check it out.
And have them check it out. Now, we had another text message, geez and crackers, that says, we had a recent update to Windows 10. Now it loads any program the mouse lands on for more than a few seconds. And Dennis came up, or maybe I don't know, one of you guys came up with...
It might be an accessibility issue. Yeah. There are lots of pieces of the OS that most people never know about, but people who have different needs than many might have issues moving the mouse or clicking the mouse. And sometimes if you are a person who has mobility issues... being able to hover the mouse pointer on something and then wait 5 seconds and know that it's going to get clicked properly would be a useful feature. Sometimes it's easy to turn these on by accident. There are certain key combinations and other things you can do to enable them. So that would be the first thing I would check for. And I don't know specifically in Windows where that is, but I would definitely search for accessibility and and, you know, some kind of like auto click or some other feature like right. that. And we'll investigate that and see if we can put a link.
You can manage which ones go on and which ones go off through the settings. There's a setting called ease of access. Okay. And there's a bunch of things in there you can turn on and off again, including things about the cursor and all kinds of stuff. One section under ease of access is mouse. So I would suggest you go there and see what you can do with that. Also, keyboard might have something to do with it as well. I would check all those options, and you may find you need to do some scrolling for that as well. But that's the sort of thing that is there as a feature for people who are differently abled. Okay, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Gates, New York. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Hi. I had a this as well as a code for the Dance to Tango, and I have no idea where I've done with it. Will I need to buy another disc, or is it a way to get it the code again?
We used to send out a disc for the Security Tango, but we no longer do. But that's okay, because if you go to securitytango.com, you'll see a whole bunch of stuff, including it, depending on what operating system you use. So across the top, near the top, there's a set of there's a menu: Home, Let's Dance, Tango Links, etc. If you click on Let's Dance, then you'll see Windows, Linux, Android, Mac, and iPhone, and you click on your operating system, and it leads you to download a whole bunch of software and leads you through actually running it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we did used to send out a disc years ago, but we no longer do that. That stuff updates.
Yeah, try to keep up the update.
Tough to do.
It's a full-time job.
It's easier, you know, with internet service and everything else nowadays. It's easier to go to the site and get the, like, you've got the links to get the most recent one. And it'll update the databases and everything else.
And when you're doing that stuff, you really want the most recent that you can get. Right. So that's important to do.
Right. All right. Again, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And based on the evidence, I don't have to tell you that our new text number is 585-205-8887.
People are taking advantage of that.
That's great. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Keeps us busy.
In the meantime, I will read another news item.
What's in the news?
Well, according to a new report, an increasing number of law enforcement agencies, including the United States Secret Service, God bless them, are simply buying their way into data that would ordinarily require a warrant. And at least one U.S. senator wants to put a stop to it. The Secret Service paid about $2 million in 2017-2018 to a firm called Babel Street.
Okay.
To use its service LocateX. LocateX provides location data harvested and collated from a wide variety of other apps. Users can draw a digital fence around an address or area, pinpoint mobile devices that are within that area, and see where else those devices have traveled in the past several months.
Huh.
Ooh.
Couldn't be easier. Even easier than they do on NCIS.
Wow.
Agencies under the Department of Homeland Security, including Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, and Customs and Border Protection, or the CBP, have purchased access to cell phone location activity for investigations. The IRS also purchased access to location data through commercial databases. Private companies can gather up, buy, sell, and trade all kinds of sensitive user data, more or less however they want, with very few limitations, and they do. All kinds of mobile data apps collect location data both legitimately and illegitimately, and then sell it to data brokers. The data brokers then pass on data that is theoretically anonymized, but in practice, it's easily identifiable. Buying those data is easier than getting a warrant. apps are not the only ones collecting and selling information. All four national mobile carriers, Verizon, AT&T, and the now combined Sprint and T-Mobile, were caught selling customer location data without consent in both 2018 and 2019, and I'm sure in 2020. Law enforcement agencies are required to get a warrant to obtain individuals' phone location data. The Supreme Court ruled that in 2018. Investigators have several times sought warrants to gather information for all phones that travel within a certain boundary during a certain period of time, known as geofencing. But there are currently no rules on the books preventing law enforcement from simply buying whatever information they want from the existing market. Got your tinfoil hat? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. You know, there are lots of conspiracy theorists who talk about not getting vaccines because they get implanted with tracking chips. Nobody needs to implant you with a tracking chip.
You got it right there in your pocket with your cell phone.
They're following you every minute of every day. If
it's powered on.
If it's powered on, well, even if it's not powered on, that's a separate story. But if it's powered on and it's not in some sort of tinfoil case,
yeah.
And even if it's in that tinfoil case, the minute you take it out to use it, they know where you are. Mm-hmm. You know, we see on TV, well, we can't trace him for 30 seconds or 5 minutes or, you know, whatever the number is. Keep him on the line. Keep him on the line.
Right.
Horse manure.
Yeah, not anymore. The minute was you back connect. In the day yeah. with regular wired copper phone lines.
Right.
Nowadays, the minute, flip that, even if it's a flip phone, flip it open and start, that activates it and starts to send out a signal because it's got to find a cell tower.
Right.
And the minute you do, bam, you're on the net. So they can track you down like nobody's business.
I have a friend who is one of these paranoid.
I got
conspiracy
one
theorist, yeah. And he says, no, I keep my phone in a case. You know the kind of RFID blockers that you can get for your passport or your credit card. You can get them for your phone,
of course.
So he said, I keep it in one of those cases. I said, yeah, but you have OnStar. Well, I need that in case I get in an accident. All right, stop and think for just a moment.
You're going to need a bigger box.
Yeah. You know,
just cut little holes in the big Ziploc bag you're going to put your car in so the wheels can touch the ground. And yeah. You can drive around in that.
He's got a
Well... You know, the reality is that
what is that saying? You can't logically argue someone out of a position they didn't logically argue themselves into.
Exactly right. But the reality is that we're all being traced every minute of every day.
Yeah, and the thing of it is all right. So even if you don't have on track, you know, say stuff in your car, the old car doesn't have that. You don't have a cell phone. You can't go from one end of this city to the other without some video cameras following you.
Yep.
The minute you get on an expressway, side streets, and everything else, there are so many cameras out there that you are probably unaware of.
Right. Including all your neighbors with their video doorbells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can see you go by. Matter of fact, they did track down one person because they had a porch pirate.
Yep.
And what they did is they went across the street to a neighbor. And the neighbor had one of those doorbells because the car pulled up. And they were able to see the car and the person get out of the car, go across the street, grab the package, come back in. And they caught him as they were driving away.
Yep. Yep. That's how it works. And we're seeing it everywhere. You know, one of the places that I used to teach had a lot that was for faculty only. And so you gave them your license plate number. Mm-hmm. And when you pulled up, it would read the license plate number and open the gate.
Okay.
And one of the other faculty member was screaming about that it was invasion of privacy. I said, well, if you have to put a card in, which you don't seem to have a problem with, it's exactly the same thing.
Yes.
Secondly, you don't think that technology is already out in every city in America?
Yeah. Oh, the police have that. They have it mounted to their trunks.
They had it out long before this college got it.
Yeah.
Well, they can sit there, a number of the cars, they've got cameras on the back.
Right.
And they can go up and down a parking lot and scan, I forget how many, it's a ridiculous number of license plates and registrations within seconds. And it'll come back and tell them if there's any warrants or anything
violations,
else. Yeah. Just by going up and down the street. They've had that technology, I got to say, at least for about 5-6 years now.
And it gets worse because they can also track where they were and at what time.
Right.
So you have people tracking where your car was parked and
when. We aren't quite London yet, but they're tracking us pretty closely.
Well, they were. I saw where they were doing that, and the guy called in, because I know one guy, and they wound up coming over to this one car and booting it.
Sure.
Because it was there that they had, like, I want to say 10 or 12 parking tickets unpaid. So they came over and booted it. But they can do that. They can go up and down registrations and, you know, all that stuff is in there and they can scan it super fast.
Yeah.
And the technology's out there, folks. So, like I say, you're worried about, them sticking something in you from a shot.
That's the least thing they need to do.
Why would they put the effort into that?
Yeah, really. Right. That would cost them money.
Right.
And time.
They wouldn't necessarily
get everybody. Everybody has a cell phone.
And everybody just drives. Even if you drive around the city, they can still track you.
Right.
You can't go from one end of the city without it.
Right. Getting off the grid is no longer as easy as it used to be.
No, not unless you want to go up into the, northern woods of the Adirondacks, up in the hills and all that. You better be hiking no phone.
And learn how to grow your own food.
Yeah, because the minute you even drive up there, they're going to follow you.
They're going to find you, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, it is what it is. And you have to be realistic about it. There are some very good reasons for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they sell the data without your knowledge to somebody else, particularly when they're selling it to advertisers and sales companies and things like that, that's a problem.
Well, we've said this for decades. That's the whole problem. Like with the internet, I'll set that up. There's a lot of good out there. But just like everything else, there's two sides to a coin. They take something that was really good and then on the opposite side, exploit it and cause a lot of havoc too, and can make your life a living hell when you don't take the proper precautions as far as protecting your machine, backing it up, or making it secure, using good passwords to get into stuff, and keeping your machine locked down. They can get into it and... you're going to be a victim of a crime.
That's right.
Exactly, I mean, far more likely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way it is.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Dennis Worster, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we are and can continue to be member supported with your generous help. Jazz 90.1. See you in just a couple of minutes.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Follow Jazz 90.1 on Twitter at 901 Jazz.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
And we're back. Welcome back. Welcome back. back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Wersky.
Hey, he put that tune in there. He just opened the door, you know, for me to...
Yeah, for you.
Crank it up a little.
At 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. I want to personally thank Martin. Thank you, Martin. Very nice. Appreciate it. And I think we're caught up on everything, so...
No, we got one more. We just had one
this
more.
This just in.
Yeah, literally. It says, hi, guys. Which GFI tracker should I use that would help me track my personal property that that will have a strong signal and small that I can easily hide? And that won't be have a monthly fee. And this is Scotty.
As for the no monthly fee, that's almost impossible.
Right.
Because they will use some form of data,
GPS, he said.
Yeah, GPS tracker. Any GPS tracker that he uses.
It's got to phone home and let you know where it is somehow.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I don't know of a single one that doesn't use some form of data. Because GPS trackers have trouble, if they go over Wi-Fi, they have a problem with.
What about this?
Well, but that's not going to work. Can I track you in your car?
No. You cannot track me right. Unless I declare... I'm looking at the tile that I have on my keychain. If I say that my tile is lost and I invite you to help me find it, then you can track where it is.
Right, but if you want to track somebody without their knowledge, you're going to be paying for... some form of cellular service.
Yeah,
they range anywhere from what I've seen is anywhere from about $5 or $10 a month to about $40 a month, and those depend on how often you update. So, for example, for $40 a month, it'll update every 10 seconds.
Okay.
And for $5 a month, it updates every couple of minutes.
Okay.
Or longer. I don't honestly remember. I did look it up once out of curiosity. I wasn't that excited about it, but a lot of people are beginning to use them tracking their teenagers or whatever. There's also the more unsavory side of tracking spouses and other people. But if what you're hoping to do is keep your property safe, like put one in your car in case your car ever gets stolen,
mm-hmm. Like a LoJack style,
right. Yeah. Then you're still going to pay, but you can do it at the lowest setting because
sure. You need to know where it is
right.
Two times a day
right.
or two times an hour.
Right. And so that'll only cost you maybe $5, maybe $10 a month.
Yep.
And at that, it's an insurance.
Right. And I would say if you are at the point where you have something so valuable that you're worried about this kind of thing, then probably that fee is not so consequential to you.
Right. And it's just another insurance.
Okay, we still got more coming in.
Okay,
when you're ready.
Okay, but
when
hold
you're
on. Ready. But I don't know of one that's free.
No.
Because seems they unlikely. Do use some sort of public
back in the day, it
access.
Might have been, but they were very limited and everything else. And now with everything else moving forward and like everything else, they got to make some money somehow.
Well, yeah, I imagine the thievesarus.com would probably sell you one. And then they would know where the stuff is and can come take it off your hands for you.
Yep. But I suspect if you're driving around with your tile, even if you let me track you, I couldn't.
No, it's Bluetooth low energy.
Right, it's Bluetooth low energy. On the other hand, with certain products like with Google, when I send somebody a text message, I can say, let them track me.
Right.
So that if I say, for example, I'm running late, but I'll be there soon, I can then turn on tracking for that person. And they will be able to follow me as and say, oh, he's closer. He's
yes. Or Waze will let
well,
you
they,
do that.
Waze will let you
well,
do
they
that
do that now with like one of the glass companies. You know, well, they're on their way and you can track them.
Right.
Sure.
But all of those use data.
Yep.
For example, the Google one uses my phone.
Right.
Yep. It uses my phone data.
Yep.
All right.
So, I'm sorry. Was it Scotty you said?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I don't know of one that's free.
All right, what's next?
All right, do you have suggestions for SSD health monitors, both for Mac, Windows, and Linux? Jerry in Rochester.
So SSDs are solid-state drives. They are not mechanical moving drives. Old drives used to have platters with ferrous oxide on it that you'd magnetize and demagnetize to make zeros and ones.
And ferrous oxide is also known by the name rust.
That is correct. And that's why when you pull the platters out, they look orange, because they are rusty.
That's exactly right. SSD stands for solid-state drive, and it's essentially the thumb drive technology.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it doesn't have any moving parts, but it does wear out over time. Its ability to store and retrieve ones and zeros fails. Many drives are over-provisioned. That is, they'll sell you a drive and say it has 500 gigabytes of capacity. Chances are good it has more than 500 gigabytes of capacity inside. Mm-hmm. Now, you'd only get to access 500 gigs, but internally, when certain cells where those bits are stored wear out, the drive will automatically mark those as unavailable after they fail a certain number of times. And without any, completely invisibly to you, it will go and use some of that extra over-provisioned space as a replacement. Many people want to keep track of the health of these drives because when SSDs fail, they fail fast. The performance on SSDs is about 4 to 5 times better than the older spinning drives. But the longevity, at least when they were brand new, was pretty rough. You might get 6 months out of a drive or 18 months out of a drive. These days, SSD health is better than it was.
It's interesting. Google, of course, has a gazillion drives, mm-hmm. both spinning and SSD in service. So they have empirical data on billions of drives.
Sure.
It turns out that the average mean time between failure for spinning drives is 5 years.
Okay.
The average mean time between SSD drives, 5 years.
Really? Oh, they're on par now.
They're on par now.
Cool.
I see.
But you can, there are a number of monitoring health systems you can use. If your system is a smart drive, SMART, and I don't remember what that means.
No, system monitoring and recovery or something.
Something. Yeah.
Mumble.
System monitoring and
the thing that keeps track of how healthy your drive
technology,
is.
I think. Sure. But at any rate, the point is, if it's a smart drive, SMART, and it usually has periods between the letters, you will be almost every operating system has some kind of program you can download, a smart monitor, mm-hmm. that will tell you about the health of your drives. In addition, just about every SSD manufacturer has their own software.
Right.
So, for example, Samsung has a program called the Samsung Magician that works with a number of their drives.
Poof, your data is gone.
Your data are gone, exactly.
Magically.
This magician's horrible.
Right. Intel has something called the SSD Toolbox. OCZ has their SSD Utility. Crucial has the Storage Executive. Kingston has the boringly named SSD Manager. So all you have to do is
the names don't matter,
right? And there's one called SSD Life and another called SSD Ready that work with almost every SSD drive. But in general, then there's Tweak SSD, which I don't know that I would trust that one. But there's a bunch of them out there, and really, if you just Google SSD tools, you'll be able, and then the manufacturer of your SSD,
right?
You'll be able to both find and download an option for your system. Linux indeed comes with a number, as does the Mac. If it's a smart drive, it's easy because it's an industry standard, and it'll work. So pretty much any one of them is available.
Yep. So start with the manufacturer and work backwards.
Right.
I would say that's probably the easiest thing. Nobody's going to know that drive better than the people who built it.
So exactly right.
I would start there. And generally, those are all free tools. Those are not things you have to pay for.
Yes.
Yep. Cool. All right, we have one last question.
Okay.
Actually, it's an answer. I found the website and have the book and bookmarked it.
Oh, good.
Thanks again.
All right.
Okay, we don't know what website.
I think that was the first caller we had today that wanted to go from
Frontier
to Yahoo. Yep.
All right, thank you. Good. That's what we like to hear. That's why we're here, as a matter of fact.
That's true.
And of course, we're all caught up. So if you want to give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. or text us at our brand new and well, broken in by now hotline, 585-205-8887.
Yeah, and don't wait until 5 minutes to, and then I tell you you can't get it.
Well, see, that's, we're a victim of our own success because we keep telling people don't call in the last 10 minutes, and here we are at the last 10 minutes. And we do have one person calling in, so that's good. So hang on a second, and we'll talk to you in just a minute. And we'll see where did you want to go. I don't think I read this one, did I? I did not. So I have a couple there, but I don't think we'll get to them at this point. We're going to go back to the phones in just a moment. Dave is frantically pushing buttons. And when we do, we'll be talking to Tom from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. So I'm trying to help my sister-in-law out. She has an older Epson printer. I think it's called a Workforce 850, which was at the time when it was new. It was a pretty expensive printer. And apparently she broke one of the cartridges, it takes four ink cartridges, you know, cyan, magenta, yellow, and black.
Right.
She broke the black one, and ink spilled all over the interior of the printhead. So I got in there, and I tried to soak as much of it as I could up to get it as dry as I could. And when I put new cartridges in now, I'm getting a message. We're getting messages saying it doesn't recognize the cartridges. And I see online they say sometimes the contacts on the printhead that make contact with the cartridges can get dirty. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. That seems plausible.
So how do you go ahead and clean that? Should I use something like alcohol?
What I would use, acetone? You take Q-tips. You put some rubbing alcohol on the end of the Q-tip. And it's going to be tedious because they're going to be messy, you know, with the different colored inks in it, and clean them off that way.
Okay.
Yep.
At this point, because you already put in the cartridge into a dirty contact, clean off the cartridge too.
Yep.
And let them dry thoroughly.
Yes.
Before you put the cartridge back in.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of ink that puddled up inside that printhead. I hope I got it all out.
Well,
keep wiping until it's clean, I guess, or until whatever you're wiping with comes back clean.
Yeah, but there's a lot of crevices in there where I couldn't get anything into it. I don't know what's underneath, you know, the bottom of the printhead, but it was quite a mess.
Right. Rubbing alcohol would be a good choice.
Okay. Thanks for the help.
Sure.
Anytime. Thanks for giving us a call, Tom.
And you should probably know that, well, you probably don't want to know, that inkjet ink costs somewhere between $1,700 and $9,600 a gallon.
Oh man, makes gas prices look like a bargain.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Or milk.
It's more costly than champagne or perfume.
Wow.
Yeah. Toners are. I'm a
laser printer fan myself.
I'm a laser printer fan too. I'm contemplating getting my beloved bride an ink. Color laser printer.
Mm,
okay, we got nice. Scotty text us back and said, which one should I use? They have that have a low monthly fee. You can text me back or if you don't want to speak
well,
it
Scotty,
out.
I
would say talk to your local private investigator and find out what they're using so that you know what's a good one.
Scotty, we honestly can't answer that question for you. The fact is...
For legal reasons,
if none other. But the fact is that only you can determine what your application is and how often you need to ping that device. If you only need to ping it twice a day, get the cheapest one. If you need to know exactly where it is every second of every day, then you need the most expensive one. But... you're the only one who can honestly tell yourself, can decide
what's going to fit his lifestyle.
Right.
I wish we could help you with that, but we cannot. It's all based on your usage and how much you're willing to spend and how often you need that update. So if I bought one for my car, I honestly don't need to ping it more than once or twice a day.
Sure.
I just need to be able to call the police and say it's on the east side. Here's the address it was at 10 minutes ago or an hour ago. Or
right.
Who cares? You know, they'll track it from there.
But the newer cars, it's already built in.
Is that
right? And with many of the newer cars, it's already built
in. Yeah, mine, if they've got an app
that
I put on my phone.
Of course they do.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you sit there and pull.
Yeah, don't leave ahead of me. Remember, I'm going out to your car. Yeah.
No, they've got what they call Ford Pass. And you hit it, and right from here, I can hit the button to start it. And I can be anywhere in the world.
Right.
Hit the button, and it'll start the vehicle for 10 minutes. And it also, if it was to be stolen, I could pull this up and say, okay, locate my car.
Right.
And it'll show right where the vehicle.
But you are paying a certain amount of money per month. Yes, you are. Right. Somebody's paying for those data. Somebody's paying for those data.
Right now, it's free for 1 year.
Well, yeah. But it does cost. What I'm saying is, it's not a free service.
No, it's going
to
cost.
It's going to cost you. Now, is that worth it to you, whatever the amount ends up being?
Yeah.
Probably.
That's
but the fact is, each person needs to answer that for themselves. And that includes Scotty, who we can't. Right. We can't tell you if that amount of money
again,
is worth it.
You know, it's just a new feature. It's free for 1 year.
Of course, you're going to use it free, take
advantage of it.
But once it's over, you have to make the decision. But now, honestly, if I had an auto start for my car in the winter, now you've had that for 100 years.
Auto start in the car in the winter.
In the winter,
it's pretty good.
Matter of fact, that was the one thing my wife said, because you know, with the car we turned in had the remote start, and she goes, "Oh. Well, we got to get the restart on this one, right?"
Pull up the app.
Pulled out the app.
Watch this. Batman over here pulls out his cell phone.
And she goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "Just wait a minute."
And vroom.
I says, "Go over to the window." And I says, "Open it. Your car's running."
Yeah.
I says, "Yep.
Darn right."
And you can shut it down, too. Mm-hmm. And you can lock the doors. You can turn the lights on and off and... pretty much anything you want to do.
Oh, it's even got it with the keys now. You can sit there with each key and program it to your settings.
Right.
So you can turn it on and it'll move the seat as far as positioning. It's got the electric seats. So during the winter, it's nice and warm when you get it.
Yeah, you got to love that.
Does it let you set the speed limit on it, too, for when you give the keys to your kids? I've heard some cars will let you do that.
I think there is. That screen, I mean, it's a huge screen.
Yeah.
And there are so many different features. And like I was telling Nick, you know, because the computer's not in it now, you can sit there, hit the brake, and then take your foot off the brake.
Hmm.
Your car doesn't keep rolling.
Doesn't creep. Okay.
Nope. It holds it right there in that spot until you hit the gas, and then it takes off.
Interesting.
Now, my car is the finest car I've ever owned. It's a Nissan Cube. What a great car. It's also 11 years old.
Yes.
So
I'm familiar. I have something like that.
Yeah. So when we went to Arizona in December, we rented a brand new Nissan Rogue.
Okay.
And it had everything. I mean, everything. And except that the seats weren't comfortable. It was one of those special molded seat things.
And
my butt isn't as molded as theirs is. But everything else, the slow down if somebody stops in front of you, the lane changing, the whole, it's just amazing. You
make
hardly
you a perfect
have to drive
Macchiato.
It at all.
We did. I gotta tell this story. You know, our last break, evidently there was a commercial for Alexa. It says,
did it fire off?
What
somebody?
I meant was, Alexa, when we played that commercial, it told it to change. Uh-oh. And it did on this person's.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Alexa's wound up changing.
Oh.
Alexa, tune to 90.1.
Yeah,
that's all we need. Send your letters to. No.
Yeah.
We have to give her a different name at my house. We call her Alaska. My sister taught me how to do that.
You told me that. We use that all the time now. I was talking to a lady whose name is Alexa. And I said, "Do you have one?" And she said, "Best thing I ever bought, because now when my mother comes over to yell at me, it interrupts her all the time.
Short circuits that conversation. Perfect.
I said, "Well, now I have to get one where I can change the name to Nick."
Yes. It seems like that should be easy. They give you a few different options.
Yeah. Most television commercials don't change it because there's apparently a tone beyond human hearing that they also send out at the same time that tells the device, don't play.
And many have that, but not everyone.
Right. All right, that music tells us that you've wasted another day with this nonsense. Jeez and crackers, will you people never learn? We want to thank everybody who called in. We want to thank everybody who texted in. We want to thank Dave Enright. We specifically want to thank Dennis Worcester for taking up the middle of his day with this nonsense. I'm Nick Francesco. Thank you all for tuning in, for listening. You've been listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That soundbite's right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to each and every one of you that with your generous support, we remain independently member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you next week. Please be good to one another. We should have Steve Ray back from his sojourn avoiding the law. And we'll see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?